Okay, I can see myself. That means we're ready to get going. Can I have the roll call, please?
Bart?
Present.
Kaplan?
Yes.
Ormski?
Yes.
Peters? Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve the minutes as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay, so welcome everyone in the audience to the Plan and Zone Commission for March the 15th. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review all matters of zoning and plats and such. So I see there's a number of folks in the audience tonight. At the appropriate time as we're going through the case, there's a podium to my right and to your left back there, where I would ask that I'll direct you back there and say, give us your name and input on a particular case. We'd love to have your input. And with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, the first case that we're viewing tonight right here is Middle Road. And we've had the Woodlands that's been under consideration for a while, already rezoned R2. There's another section here which is north of the Woodlands first edition that the developer, the same developer, is proposing to go from A1 to R2. The area is in a traditional residential land use status, so that would facilitate it going from A1 agricultural to R2 single family residence district. This will give you an idea. The area outlined in brown right here happens to be on the preliminary plat showing what lots are anticipated for that area. There's also a stormwater detention area right here, or a retention pond, I should say, that is an existing pond that will be used as a water feature within that area. This area here is already, as I mentioned before, traditional residential. The area here in tan is outlined showing the parcel area to be rezoned. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Greg, I'm going to again voice my objections to not using R1 instead of using R2. As I said in the past, R2 is meant for the older sections of town, not the newer sections of town. Yet we continue to prolificate the use of the R2 in the newer sections. And I understand there are benefits to the developer associated with that. My concern is that there are some protections to the homeowner that are not included in the R2 that are in the R1. Specifically, home occupations are allowed in R2, and so are you can rent your room out in your house in R2, which you can't do in R1. And I'm concerned that if we want to use the different setbacks, if we want to use the closer approaches to the streets and things of that nature that you're entitled to in R2, if we want to use those in R1 districts, I'm fine with that as long as we keep some of the other protections that we have. And I know this is not going to go over very well, but I just want to voice that opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Others in the commission?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do have one question.
Yeah.
In your staff recommendations, Greg, there's a reference to signaling at the corner. Can you give us a little bit more information about the status of that right now?
I can give you the status on that. That went live today. That intersection went live today.
Well, so pay attention to green and red when you're going through there. Okay.
Okay. That's pretty up to date. Thank you.
Question, Greg, too. It makes reference to sanitary and storm will become available for connection from Wyndham West, and then there's also one street will line with Crow Creek Road, and the right-of-way must be acquired. So is that something that's imminent? I've seen a couple of references to
this. This is the right-of-way down here that has to be acquired from the Welch property in order for there to be correct alignment for Crow Creek Road. And then in the orange here, you see the sanitary and storm connections that will fan out from down below in the Wyndham West subdivisions, and then this will be traced out as needed to the remainder of this area here and connected.
And are those pretty well done then?
No.
I can address that, Mr.
Chairman.
Yeah, I think I got word from the developer that the closing on the Welsh property will be this coming Monday.
Oh, great. Okay.
Agreements for the extension of sewer through Wyndham West second edition is all but settled at this point in time.
Okay, good, good. Thanks for that update. Okay. Anyone else from the commission? Okay, anyone in the audience that has comments with regard to this case? I don't see anyone in the audience with regard to this case. Come back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case 17-011, rezoning subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-011, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, Greg?
Well, the next case up is pretty much adjacent to the rezoning we already looked at, and that is an A1 to R5 request. The area right here is a parcel that was not part of the overall ownership of the Hellman area here. It was deeded over to Windmiller Development. It's in a traditional residential area for a land use, and that's why there's a land use amendment along with this rezoning request to go from residential to high density residential, similar to what happened up here with the villages of the Woodlands. This gives you a concept idea. This is just a concept right now. When it comes to site plan, the densities and all the utilities and any other types of characteristics that have to conform to our ordinances shall be made in conformance. And what you're looking at is the concept for townhouses right here and then multifamily, or really what are mounted two rows of townhouses connected together in this development. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval of both the land use amendment and the rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions or comments from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I think I have a comment more than a question. What we're looking at tonight is merely the land use and the rezoning, and I see that this type of project is a good fit in that area. And we're not talking about the site plan tonight. I would just say, based on the concept that we're looking at, it looks like a pretty high intensity, and that's something that I would be looking at paying attention to down the road when we're looking at that portion of the plan. This looks pretty dense to me.
Okay, thanks, Ann. Other comments or questions from the commission? I share that observation as well, actually. It looks quite dense, and I don't know if the developer's here or not, but just for the next go-around when we get to the site plan, I had jotted a few notes down. Again, just suggestions. Parking, question mark, snow storage, question mark, density, question mark, where are the dumpsters, question mark. I know it's a concept plan, but there's a lot of stuff going on there, and I would sure like to see a lot of detail in a site plan and address that density issue when we get to that point. So that would be my editorial on that. Anyone else?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a similar comment. My concern would be the buffering of that to the adjacent R2. Who takes care of that? Is that something that's done up with the backyards of R2, or is that something that takes into and is it going to happen in this R5? But there should be some buffering, I think.
In driving by, and maybe Bill, you can clarify, or Greg, I think the developer on the other side has a berm that's, there's been a lot of dirt placed around the perimeter of the Windmiller development, but to your point, who does it bear on and screening and all that? So anything to add on that, Bill or Greg?
We will look at buffering, setbacks, buildings in the R5 at the time they come in with the site development plan. This is, again, just a concept plan and not really much for us to look at or comment on because there's no actual dimensions. So
right.
We're just kind of looking at some lines on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And we're looking at that with the current zoning that's in effect right now.
That's correct.
I would add the access to Middle Road. It concerns me a little bit.
So some things to work on. Okay. Anyone else from the commission? Okay. Anyone in the audience that would like to contribute relative to this particular case? Oh, I see somebody coming back. Yes, sir.
Hi there. Reed Windmiller, Windmiller Development. As a property owner on the three sides of this, we're watching this closely. We tried to contact McNamara's for several times before this meeting, just so we had an idea what was going on. We didn't receive a call back until last week, so we're a little blindsided here. We haven't had a chance to meet with them yet. So our concerns with this so far is the amount of density in this backing up to our R2. I just did a little math on it. There's 89 units in there, and it's 4 1/4 acres. So that equals 21 dwelling units per acre, which to us seems pretty dense. Our R5 that we're doing where the townhouses are is 6 units per acre. So quite a big swing in difference. Also, from what we understand, the product is going to be a three-story unit, garage on the main level, or a garage on the ground, and then two floors above that. So we're going to have quite tall buildings over, where I'm just guessing, I think they're going to be close to 40 feet or over. So it's going to be pretty hard to screen that away, even with our tall berms. You guys have also brought up other issues, just as we're thinking about through this with the snow and parking will be issues to work through. I just wanted to say what we thought about it so far and where we're at the moment.
Okay, thank you for your comment.
You.
Yes, sir.
Well, my name is Dick McNamara. I'm the proposed developer with this addition here. Just to give you an example of a product that we've already finished at this point over on Kimberly Road, and Welcome Way across from Northwest Bank, there's 50 units sitting in there that are townhouse style units that we completed about a year ago.
Dick, are those the ones up the hill from Lou Jack's?
Yes, they are.
Okay, all right.
Those have all permeable pavers, and if I recall, they're about 32 feet from the peak to the ground. We do have the two-car garage underneath. And then this first floor is a 9-foot ceilings. The second floor is 8-foot ceilings, so 17. It's about 27 to 30 feet to the peak. So a concern would always be that, and it was in Davenport, that we had a height requirement there. But they're well put in there and very energy efficient. And it provides with two-car garages for each unit, because we do not want to have a concern of outside parking. There is visitor parking, and there is, although you won't see it on this right now, but there is a place to put garbage, that type of pickup thing. We'll get into more details about, but it's very efficient. So if you want to take a drive over to see what kind of product it looks like, you can drive by that. Our proposed project will be a 2- and 3-bedroom, and the reason we're experimenting with the 3-bedroom as opposed to the 2-bedroom over there is because of the Pleasant Valley school system. We're trying to cater to a more of a family-oriented type product. for them. So that was the reason for the consideration of the three bedroom. So Mr. Windmiller is correct on the density is approximately 89 units, although we haven't finalized that yet. And there is 5 acres there. We're 660 feet by 228. And it does come out to about 17 units per acre. So I'm welcome. I'll do my best to answer any questions. But we have completed a number of upper-end projects throughout the community in Davenport. And we are looking for an upper-end project in Bettendorf. And typically, our average income tenant is in excess of $100,000 a year. We typically get the young professionals moving into the area or business owners, and typically the $100,000 is not a difficult income for a young professional over there. Can I answer any other questions?
Questions from Kishin? No, I appreciate the input, Dick, and again, recognize that it's a concept plan and just some things that history tells us we'll be looking at and wanting to address when it comes back in a site plan form.
All the water retention, by the way, we don't like a retention pond because we think it's more of a eyesore than it is anything else. So all our water retention will be underground. It'd be a very clear site. You probably won't see brick pavers because there are some difficulties with brick, but it'll be a similar type product that we'll also have there where the water retention. We've had an enormous amount of experience in building this type of product, so it's not like my son Chris is a engineer, and he's very innovative, so we've had a lot of experience building these products.
All right, thanks. Appreciate the input.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Last call? Nope, that's all we got in the audience. Back to the commission. And we're going to take this in two pieces here with 012 and 013.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve the case number 17-012, the land use amendment at 4784 Middle Road, as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-012, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-012 is approved. 17-013 then.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case number 17-013. This is the rezoning for 4784 Middle Road as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-013, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-013 is approved. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the next case is Century Heights 21st Edition. It can be reached. Here's 53rd Avenue, and you've got Allison right here, connects into the 20th edition. This is essentially the area on the preliminary plat right here. And it's those lots in the center part of what was Century Heights Phase 2 that was, it's being platted tonight. And this is the layout right here showing the area right here of all the lots that are being considered for the final plat. And there's an outlot here. You've got 33 lots of record and then that one outlot. And this is Century Heights 20th edition, again, showing that you would come up through here, through Allison, and then you just fan out and connect into the various portions of the 21st edition. And reviewing this, staff recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions by the commission. Okay, anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? OK, Okay, nobody in the audience. Come back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I will move for approval of case 17-016, final plat, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-016, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-016 is approved. Greg?
The next case, Mr. Chairman, is a site development plan for Our Savior Lutheran Church. And the areas here that are marked in orange essentially are the areas that are undergoing change for the site. You've got approach just right off of Middle and Belmont right here as you come in, and then there's another one directly off Middle Road. This is the original site plan, or one of the originals, I should say the last one that was done for an area here on the northern side of this structure, and it was done in the year 2000. This gives you an idea of what the additions would look like. This is on the back side right here, facing east, and this is the north side right here. This is where the proposed detention is anticipated for this addition. And this gives you an idea of the area, again, that is under construction, these two main areas here, and with some paving coming back in here, and again, the detention in this area, and then this addition right here as well. This is a magnification, again, showing this addition here, a little bit out front here, and then this right here with some additional paving being brought in. We do have the detention area being shown right there. Some areas of removal out front here and here are part of this particular addition, and you'll see the parking removed here, but they do have enough parking from what we did in our evaluation, so that wouldn't be a problem. And here's the church elevations, again, showing the additions that are going to be in play here for the additions that are being added to the church. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. Questions or comments from the commission? You guys are making it easy. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? No? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 17-004, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-004, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17-004 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next case involves a proposal that is undertaken in a C5 district. And if you remember, we did amend that ordinance to permit development to be grandfathered in for those parcels that were under the old ordinance governed by C5 if they had some means of definition for the outline of the parcel. And this had approached us before. We had already had another development that came to us earlier at this site. And you approach it by coming off of Devil's Glen Road, coming down Tanglewood, and this is the parcel. You have the Y over here, and you have Genesis right here. So essentially, it's the same, almost the same setup as what was here before when this was proposed. The difference being, though, is that each of these buildings contained 16 units. And you had 32 units total on site and two buildings on the same parcel. Today you have 24 units in six different structures. So in terms of the number of units that are on site, you've seen a decline in that number. And this is basically the layout with showing the contours on site, and how you're going to have your detention mainly out front here and each of these units in here. And then they'll have the parking, two spaces for each unit, and there'll also be some additional parking on the outside. This is the view from Devil's Glen Road right here, coming up Tanglewood, and then you would enter here. And this is the view from the opposite direction, looking down at the Y, and then coming back up on Tanglewood. As part of this addition, a requirement was made that there be sanitary and stormwater connection coming up here. I believe water might be coming through also from the adjoining property, Genesis, over here to connect to this site. Present, there is no water or sewer that is coming up Tanglewood Road. So they had to have another means to get to that site. As part of that requirement to bring that to this parcel, they have to bring the utilities up to this northern boundary of this particular parcel right here so that it might serve this adjoining parcel at some future date across Tanglewood Road. These are the units and how they would appear, with, again, a similar design as mentioned earlier in the evening for Mr. McNamara's project. You've got parking here, and then you have these two stories above, and they come in four units per each building, similar to a townhouse style. And this is the easement that is being requested through the adjoining property to bring the utilities to the parcel here and to serve them, and then to stub them in so that these might be available to property to the adjoining portion of Tanglewood Road. And even though you can't see it here, there is a provision in our ordinance in the C5 portion that does grandfather this type use in for this particular parcel. Staff, in reviewing the petitioner's request for this development, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
I have a question of clarification. So the easement is not on the property that we're considering. It's on adjoining property?
It's partially on this property because it's acting to carry the utilities eventually to the north of Tanglewood. So there's an easement that runs here as well, and then it runs up here. And then it comes from the adjoining property from the south, which is the Genesis property.
So all of the easement is on the parcel that we're discussing?
There are easements, yes, on this parcel that are being added.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the closest sanitary sewer to get this was a manhole that was on the south side of the entrance drive to Genesis. So apparently when this subdivision was platted, there was no forethought. I'm talking about the original Genesis forethought as to how we're going to sewer the rest of the properties adjacent. So talked to the developer. He went and talked to the folks at Genesis and was able to obtain an easement to get property up there. So some of the easement is on Genesis property, some is on his, and I also hooked him up with the property owner that owns the property to the north of Tanglefoot, so they could work together to provide sewer to that property when that property develops also.
That sounds way too efficient, Bill.
We just need to make sure that we look ahead.
I love you for that. Thank you.
We all appreciate
yes.
that.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Anyone else from the commission?
One more question on parking. Yep. So each unit has a two-car garage, and there's additional parking?
There'd be additional parking right here.
Okay.
And right here. And I don't know if they included any on the outside. They may have, but for the most part, they meet the ordinance even without adding these additional spaces here and here.
Okay, so if I'm a resident there and I have guests, they can park in front of my garage?
That's correct.
It might be, yeah.
Those are noted as spots.
Okay, that's all
I
have.
Will there be dumpsters on this property then, or are they all individual garbage cans for each unit, or how's that going to be handled?
I thought the dumpster was right in here.
Yeah.
Oh, and on the left side, there's another
okay.
one there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. West side. actually, I kind of like, just for common standpoint, the courtyard parking and access as opposed to all parking mm-hmm. area in front gives it some nice protection and visibility from the street. It looks more like units as opposed to parking lots, so kind of like the way that rolls. Anyone else on the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Okay, back to the commission then. And we have two as part of this.
I do have one question.
Yep.
I guess this would be, what would it be, the east entrance? Is that immediately adjacent to the entrance into the Y?
It's in close proximity because you'd be bringing it right here, essentially, and this is the existing Y entry right here.
Okay.
Will there be any kind of berm or for the residents there to give them a buffer between the Y and
I think that
their new home?
Might be right here, and I don't believe so right here. I believe that this grade is the one that changes here, but I don't believe this one does at all. I think that's just the natural inclination of what's already on site.
Bill, any chance with the efficiency that there can be some cooperation between the Y and this unit, these units, where they could share access?
Well, the developer was able to get cooperation with Genesis, so I'll leave that up to the developer if he thinks that maybe they could do some berming across property lines.
Well, I was actually thinking maybe they could share a driveway.
Yeah. Oh, share a driveway.
So we have one entrance there instead of two right next to each other.
I don't know. I defer that to the engineer. We're looking at 16 units here. You're probably looking at, on an average, maybe 64 to 100 trips a day at the most coming in and out of this development as compared to the Y, which is probably 20 times that. So personally, I don't know if that's a good idea to mix those.
Yeah, I would agree with Bill on that. And they also have an additional entrance there that they can utilize as well.
Okay. Sure.
Bill, Commissioner Rafferty had a question about the sort of grandfathering in of the prior residential
right.
zoning or allowable use here. Has the city interpreted this provision previously that so anything that was platted and zoned previously is now grandfathered in? Because there is a sentence that says that references condemnation in there.
Yeah. Well, if you recall, we had some people that came in when we took the residential component out of the C5. And we had quite a bit of C5 property that used to allow duplexes that suddenly became non-conforming uses. So we found out this was a problem when people went in to do some refinancing on their homes. So we came up with the provision that if they were platted prior to the change of our ordinance and were destined for residential, then they would be able to be used for residential. This one, because it had a residential component attached to it that was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council in 2004, I deemed that had been basically appropriate for residential, and that's why this didn't have to go through for a rezoning.
And that's how you've interpreted it
that's
for
correct.
Other projects.
That's correct.
Crown Point Townhomes, I believe, right. that Kerry Nowak did, falls under the same situation because he was not finished building out yet. He had platted that subdivision, and he fell in with those means, and I believe there might have been one other subdivision as well that also was impacted. So we've done this before.
That's fine. The question arose because of the language that you pointed out. I mean, it talks about, you know, two conditions. You know, one, that it has been platted as residential, and two, also about prior condemnation. And that's why, you know, when you look at both of those, and I don't understand the part about, and that was the question about the prior condemnation. So
that means that if the lot, what we've done in the past, and it's in another portion of our ordinance, that the lot will be considered or the parcel or subdivision conforming, even, well, because we took the ground essentially, we cannot place them into a hardship situation where he made it non-conforming.
The condemnation was because you went from C5 and you took the residential portion out. Okay.
So they're two separate conditions essentially, is how you read them, interpreted them.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Good clarification. Yep.
Thank you.
Anyone else with the commission? Okay. Do we have a recommendation?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case number 17002, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-002, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-002 is approved. And then we would take 21 with that as well.
We have two.
That's the easement.
Okay, I will also move for approval of case 17-021, the easement plat, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-021, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-021 is approved. Okay. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this is a three-motion type project being brought before you tonight, and this is the area that is under two different considerations, and then this over here is under a separate one. What you're looking at is this area here is going to be actually three different motions: replatted, rezoned, and also a development plan is coming into place for these lots here, which are formerly, or I should say related to, the Fountains Fourth Edition. This site over here is simply being replatted in terms of what is proposed. This is the plat that encompasses all of the lots that are remaining, lots 1 through 10 and 69 through 74 of the fourth edition, the Fountains Fourth Edition, the portion of which this area here is requested to go from R3 to PR3 as an overlay district, and to permit what are essentially single-family detached units, as you see here. Instead of duplexes being attached as a single-family attached, these are separated from one another on these lots. There are 9 lots here. There were originally 10 lots under the older configuration. And lots 7 through 15 here are the ones that are being considered again for the development plan along with the rezoning. And this is a close-up again of the development plan, and that relates just to this area here, even though the other side is shown as well. Again, we go back to the PR overlay district consideration about adding any type of density. It could be one unit or 15% based on the size of this area and the developers within the confines of that ordinance for the PR overlay district. In reviewing this, staff recommended approval of the rezoning from R3 to PR3, the development plan that goes with that, and then the overall replatting of all of the lots that were shown there, lots 1 through 10 and 69 through 74 of the Fountains Fourth Edition. I would ask, are there any questions?
Greg, I know you just explained it, and I heard what you were saying, but can you tell me in some kind of summary form what's now able to happen that wasn't before, why it's being changed, and what the result will be?
The lots will be able to be to a lesser width. The developer chooses to follow that route, and they'll be of a smaller size, but they'll be detached. The units will, before they were proposed as being duplexes, now they're detached. And with that too, you can jog around you more flexibility in designing this as opposed to if it were under R3 zoning, which is only going to permit pretty much a duplex or single family arrangement. If it's single family, these lots then have to be 70 feet in width. And right now we're seeing them diminish to 54 feet for the most part. This one's a little bit larger here, but you're looking to try to create this design as you had above here when you had the Hopewell addition. And the developer went for PR3 in that area as well. He's done that request and received it in the Glenn Gevelin editions, second through fourth editions. So that's essentially what he's doing, is the same type of design, single family detached structures that are really one half of a duplex structure. And this permits him to do it. The PR3 does. The R3 does not at these lot widths.
And what will be the distance between the structures in the PR3 then?
I believe a minimum of 10 feet, 5 feet each side here, I believe.
Well, Greg, I think when I looked at the development plan, it showed 7.5 foot.
Okay, so it'd be 15
on each side of the unit, so that would give you 15 foot between units.
Okay.
So the sides of each unit are 7.5 feet from the lot line?
Yes.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission? Greg, the grade, I know, is pretty steep down there, and I can see down the southeast side of your drawing there that it drops pretty bit. Is that just going to be a sloped backyard then? Any retaining walls or anything required in there?
I don't know. You might have to... I don't know what design that they might want to go with in that regard, but I believe the developer might be here tonight to address that.
And then I guess footnote to that, would that then be a, if these are in some kind of patio, does each home take care of its own area, or is that group mowing and things like that?
That's something the developer can address.
And anyone else from the commission?
And the other thing in the ordinance is that the developer has to complete this within 1 year of its being submitted and approved by the council, is that right?
There's some timetables, and what he's going to be required to do is submit a letter to the city council that will look at what exceptions he's asking for, and then a timetable that he delivers to the city council. He has to commence within a year of the beginning of this project, and then he has to give a timetable as to when it will be finished.
Okay.
Anyone else in the commission? Okay, I see one anxious person back there. Greg, I recognize you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Greg Jaeger. I'm here representing the applicant this evening. I'm an attorney with the Pasternak firm, 313 West 3rd in Davenport. Here tonight is Mr. Dolan, who is the developer, as well as Michael Janicek, who's the engineer for the developer. He can answer technical questions, and I may ask him to stand up and talk about the southern eastmost lot, because that was a question that you had. I just wanted to say a couple of quick things on this subdivision. Greg, if you could go back to the final plat drawing. So I don't want to be in a position where the commission feels like it's being misled. You see, the final plat encompasses both the east and the west side. When the developer first talked to staff about this, the consideration was that there would be a request to rezone both the east and the west side, so all of those lots would be rezoned. Because of a technical consideration, we weren't able to bring that forward at one time. You can expect that in the next month we will be asking to rezone the western half of that area as well. So I wanted you to be aware that the request is going to be PR3 for both sides. Tonight, however, it's just for the east side. I also wanted to mention that I understand the neighbors are concerned about whether or not the covenants that affect this area would be followed by the developer. Mr. Webster is here, or was here, earlier this evening. He's the Fifth Ward Alderman. He has agreed to facilitate a meeting with the developer and the neighbors, but I do want to say to you that the developer will abide by all of the covenants that are currently in play. I realize that's not anything that's specifically a concern of the commission, covenants being handled privately, but it's something that's of concern to the neighbors who are here, and I just wanted to give them that assurance. I did also want to say that the PR3 zoning will allow for single or combined units, such as already considered in the R3 zone. Depending on how the market dictates, the developer very well may put one or two side-by-side units, even with the PR3 zoning. But the expectation is, by moving to this, you can set up individual units, and that's something that appears to be more favorable in the market. And then lastly, there was a question about mowing. I believe mowing is already one of the subjects covered under the covenants and is handled collectively rather than on an individual basis. With that, again, Mr. Dolan is here, Mr. Janicek is here. I'd ask Mr. Janicek to talk about the slope of the southeast lot. If there's any other information I can provide, happy to do it.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Based upon what you just said, did I understand you to say that you believe the statute allows you, if we approve the site plan, to push 7 and 8 together and make them a combined unit?
I can answer that. Staff would require them to come in and amend the development plan.
But it would depend upon the market.
Part of this.
The zoning would allow it to be done.
The zoning, but the development plan would still have to be approved by this body and by the council.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Sorry if I didn't speak as precisely as I should have.
Because I thought if we approved, or if the council approves, a site plan, then it should be constructed as approved.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I misled you.
No, you didn't mislead me. I just needed a clarification.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Mike Janicek with McClure Engineering and the engineer record. And, the grading, if you're concerned on the east side, it's set up for walkout lots, and then it'd have a flat area immediately behind the home. About half of the yard would be like a flat area, and then it would slope down to the east or northeast, depending upon which lot you're talking about, as it goes and connects to existing Fountain subdivision to the east.
Okay, yeah, I just looked at, and I'm assuming those are 1 foot increments, and on the one, especially on the lot 14, it starts pretty close to the back corner and then drops down pretty quick. And that was my mowing question then too. If each individual house was responsible for mowing, you can get variations in who's mowing the hill or not and how it looks. So yeah,
I think Mr. Jager answered the question about the maintenance, and there's no plan for retaining walls unless it's like a landscape wall that they would be discussing that. There's no structural walls necessary. It'd all be like 3-to-1 or 4-to-1 slopes tied into existing with flat yards immediately after the homes.
Ann just pointed out to me, and I guess I didn't notice it, but now I do when she points it out, in the front of the homes, it looks like those are grade changes.
Right, that's based on rough grading so that walkout lots would be, so there's minimal grading required when they go to construct the walkout lots. So there's a drop of 5 to 7 feet. When we rough grade it to make it easier, so there's less excavation required for basements.
So you'll have grade, you'll step down.
That's right.
Then you'll step
there's
down.
There's like a
again.
3-to-1 slope from around the set, or 10 foot past the setback or so. And then there's a flat area till past the walkout, 10, 15, 20 feet past. And then we go back down at a slope to go tie into existing along the property line.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Questions from the commissioner, comments? Okay, anyone else from the audience? You might stay back there, we'll see, just in case, but virtually nobody's asked questions so far, and there's still a number of people, so this must be the case. So anyone in the audience with regard to this case that would like to give us some input? Yes, sir.
Ted Blythe, 3662 Thunder Ridge Road, the Fountains. I guess our major concern is that water runoff. Is this, do we understand that essentially that water would be directed essentially under severe conditions, or even just normal conditions, into the existing detention pond? Is the engineering adequate to deal with that issue? Because right now, of course, that's the lowest part. That's even to the east of some of us. That's the collection point. So I was kind of concerned about, as others that are here, about the potential for heavy-duty rain going all the way through that development, all the way past our buildings, because we're essentially talking about townhouses or duplexes right on that path. So we're concerned about the likelihood of water being moved through that. I guess I'm not clear in terms of the engineering factor. The drop-off is precipitous from where we see it, from where we live, in these duplexes. So I guess I'm wondering about the reliability in terms of the engineering saying, it's going to be okay to take care of all the water runoff that might be on a 5 or 10 mile or even a greater period of time, because that's an issue that we're dealing with.
Yeah, all right, appreciate that, Ted. And I know there's been, and maybe Brian, you can help address that with Mike from an engineering standpoint, but there were some other issues at the fountains coming in from the north, and a pile of riprap still sits there today to help buffer the water coming in from the development up towards Hopewell. So a good point, Ted, and we'll have some folks address that.
Mike Janicek again with McClure Engineering. The profile of the road is set up where about probably 90% of this street drains north to Hopewell, and there's low point inlets currently built on Hopewell to the north. So majority of our property gets conveyed by storm sewer system. We've got a set of inlets in the middle that everything south of those inlets drains into those inlets and then gets into a storm sewer that then goes north. Anything that falls north of those inlets travels in the street, drains down to those low point inlets that are, you can see at the far top of the screen there, that's on the existing Hopewell. And then all that water is then conveyed into the storm sewer system, but then gets into the regional wet pond that serves fountains. And that pond was adequately sized to plan for this development at an earlier date. And those storm sewers are appropriately sized to handle a 10-year or more event. If it's more than a 10-year event, there would be overland flow on the streets so that everything's graded so that the front of the east houses would all drain to the street. The back of the houses would drain back to that cul-de-sac, if you can see it east of us. Then the entire west half of the property would all drain to the street. And then anything that the storm sewer is inadequate to handle during a 100-year event would drain along the street to the north into those inlets at Hopewell into the storm sewer. If the storm sewer can't handle it, it would drain between the lots north of this subdivision.
You know, Mike, you made some references to 10-year events. I mean, usually we speak about 100-year events and 500.
The storm sewer system is sized for a 10-year event per ordinance. The overland flood route has to be sized to handle a 100-year event.
Okay. And Brian, is that...
Which carries more water?
Right. The 100-year event is more water, and there's a 1% chance for it to happen every year, apparently. And then there's a 10-year event that there's a 1 in 10 chance of that happening per year. And that's what the typical engineering practice is, and that's what City of Bettendorf uses.
That's correct.
Okay, Brian, so what Mike just referenced to us has passed the engineering standards, meets the code?
Yes, that does. Yep, that's absolutely correct.
Sounds like a lot of the water's heading north and elsewhere rather than heading south.
That's right.
There's just a very small amount. The profile of the road goes up for just like 50 feet and then back down, so it's like only like half of the southern lots don't go to the north. You know, 90%+ of the property drains north to those inlets. Very, very little of it gets to the south at all.
And the water, Mike, that would come off the backyards and those grades, say from the toe down or from the top down the toe, that hits the, and now there's like a little cul-de-sac, if you will, that comes in there. Where does that water head? Does it head towards the fountains pond?
Yeah, that's internal to the fountains, and there's drainage inlets down there that then convey that to the detention pond.
And those are properly sized for the additional runoff from
for that this those development. Were sized for this area. It was always planned for that water to go there. The only water that is going to go to that cul-de-sac, if you want to call it that, is just the rear yards of the east side. And then the front yards of the east side is all draining west and north.
Okay.
The existing retention pond there, just north of Thunder Ridge Road, does serve the entire Fountains addition and was sized properly for that.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience that would like to? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Becky Lee Hinton. I'm the executive director of the Fountains Senior Living Community and in charge of the Homeowners Association at the Fountains. I have some concerns from historically unpredictable water, stormwater runoff that results in mud that flows into our underground parking garage. It's happened multiple times. I'm very concerned now with the lots 7 through 15. If there were to be water runoff during the construction process, and we have, and the same problem occurs, it's going to end up with mud running into the living rooms of my first floor residence in the independent building. That's a great deal of concern to me, knowing how much has run off in the past. I just wanted to voice that concern that water runoff during the construction process is different than the water runoff once the sod has been established and everything. And as you mentioned, there is still riprap sitting that I'm afraid to move because I'm afraid that we're going to have another mud flood at the fountains. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike Janicek with McClure. Appropriate erosion control measures will be set up. We have a grading and erosion control plan and a SWIP set up on the plans that the city's in the process of approving. And basically, at the far east side, there'll be silt fence, and there'll also be silt fence appropriately at the toe, at all toes of slope of, that are 3-to-1. So there'll be a series of measures set up there that will meet the city's requirements. There'll be appropriate inspections done that will meet the requirements of the city. And the city has its own inspector that inspects these measures. And if there's any deficiencies, I'm sure it will be taken care of in short order.
Could you explain what SWIP is?
Can you speak to the previous issues that they have? Do you know what has caused that?
I know that there's been flooding at that development. We weren't the engineer record on that project that Egger did. I don't know if Dan has any opinion or what. I just know that we're definitely doing no harm. This is all going to get stabilized. The storm sewer is appropriately sized. We're meeting all the ordinance requirements. The detention pond is appropriately sized. I'm very comfortable with our design. I think the residents are going to be happy when everything's been constructed, and I think it's going to be an excellent project.
Thank you.
I have had some experience with this. The building that's directly adjacent and to the east of this development has on the northeast corner a garage entry for underground parking. That elevation happens to be the lowest elevation on the site. So when they were building the building, I had mentioned that to them that I thought it was going to be a problem, and it has bore out a few times since it was constructed.
Where should the water bill that comes down that road from the north that hits that low spot, what is the mechanism to carry that out?
They've got a trench drain in there, but anybody that has a trench drain knows if
they will fill
it
up.
Gets clogged with leaves or something, then it doesn't work appropriately.
Have flat roof will leak, have trench drain will fill up, yes.
Yep.
Principles of life. Okay. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case for input? Okay, seeing none, come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I see three cases that we need to consider. The first being 17-019. I'll move for approval of rezoning for staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17019, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17019 is approved.
I will also move for approval of case 17020, a replat, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17020, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
And finally, I'll move for approval of case 17023, the development plan for the same parcel, subject to staff recommendations.
Okay, we have a,
second.
A motion. Sorry, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17023, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17023 is approved. And I can say there will be people in the fountains watching the developer, so please do it right out there. Okay, Greg. Sorry. It's not Greg. You're
that's
on.
Me.
Yeah, somebody else here
thank
is
you,
doing
Chairman.
This. I'm like.
For your consideration this evening is a urban renewal plan for an area that is located essentially at I-80 and Middle Road in Bettendorf. There, the city previously had an urban renewal district established in that location. I believe that was approved back in 1990 or 1991. At that time, the city had imposed a 20-year sunset on that plan. So that plan has expired. There were never any projects approved in the area. And the city has recently been approached about a proposed project at this location. So this is essentially the revival of an urban renewal area at that location. Under the Iowa Code, Planning and Zoning Commission must review the plan, make any comments or recommendations on the plan. Before it can move to public hearing and consideration by the City Council. The plan document itself is supposed to identify sort of the purposes of the plan, the types of projects that are anticipated in the area. There is some discussion about proposed incentives that may be approved as part of the plan, but those are all, at this point, estimates. And are not locked in. Obviously, if a project were to be formally approved and incentives were awarded, that would require a separate process in addition to the plan, which would be a development agreement and an urban renewal project process. So this is essentially step one of many steps that would need to take place for the city to approve an urban renewal project in this area. And TIF is a big incentive that's used for urban renewal projects. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. But the, as I said, the code does require your review, comment, recommendation before it can move to City Council.
It's a little bit of a misnomer in a sense, urban renewal. But then when I look in for a brand new project potentially on virgin ground, but it says to meet the objectives and a new rehabilitated, converted, or expanded. So it's really beyond the scope of renewal per se. It's a broad scope.
Right. So under an urban renewal district, there can be slum and blight removal. There can be redevelopment as a goal. And there can also be what's called an economic development area where it's new development. And essentially, you're spurring.
Which is what we're contemplating in this.
New development.
Yeah.
Correct. At this location.
And so if I look at, you said earlier that the council passed one that was good for 20 years and then it expired. On page 10 of this paragraph P, it says effective period. It looks like this one is becomes effective upon adoption by the council and remains in effect until it's repealed.
Correct. So we sort of self-imposed the 20-year sunset previously.
Okay.
And because nothing came to fruition within that time period, this time around, we're basically leaving it open-ended.
And this plan appears to be primarily geared toward the sports complex that we've heard about, correct?
At this point in time, that's the only project that's really come forward. Urban renewal plans can be amended as new projects present themselves. If there are new conditions that need, you know, require us to go back and tweak this, that can happen with public hearing and city council approval.
So this isn't so much a general urban renewal plan, it's an urban renewal plan that's sort of geared towards the project that we anticipate.
It's geared toward the district.
Okay.
So you should look at this as that location, that district, these are the types of projects that we foresee coming there and that would be eligible as urban renewal projects.
But for this specific project to move forward, the next step would be a development agreement.
Correct. For the sports complex project specifically, if that moves forward, the next step would be the development agreement.
Okay.
And a corresponding TIF ordinance if TIF is being rebated.
And does this area on the that we're looking at on the map, is that the same as the area that was part of the urban renewal plan in the past?
I have a diagram that I can show you. So this area identified south of Forest Grove was included in the old area that has been omitted in this plan because I believe the land use now is traditional residential there. So that has been taken out. And then these parcels in yellow have been added to the prior district. And those are actually owned by the city. That's for Forest Grove Park. And those have been added to give the city some flexibility in terms of our borrowing to complete projects for the park. There's some additional flexibility under the urban renewal law that would let us borrow more to complete park projects if we designate those as eligible for an urban renewal project. So that has been added. But otherwise, the remainder of the area was all included previously. Any other questions about that?
Thank you.
Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Okay, come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 17-022, the proposed I-80 urban renewal area as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-022, proposed I-80 urban renewal area. And is that a recommendation to approve and accept it?
Yes, essentially as is. The
as
commission is.
Is
recommending
as presented.
Approval
okay.
As is, unless there are any suggested edits.
Okay. And then the next step would be public hearings?
There is a public hearing scheduled for April 4th in front of the City Council. There are also opportunities to consult with the taxing entities that will occur prior to that. So the school district, the county will have an opportunity to comment. And then it does go for public hearing and possible approval with the City Council.
Okay. All right, thanks for the clarification, Christine. So we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-022. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 17-022 is approved, which would take us, Bill, to our commission update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Subsequent to your last meeting, the City Council wanted some more information on the Jeremiah Schramm preliminary and final plats, so that was deferred for 2 weeks. City Council wanted more information on the preliminary plat of the Glenbrook Ridge subdivision, so that's been deferred for 2 weeks. They did, however, follow your lead in approving the final plat of the Village of the Woodlands, Shops of Woodlands, and a sanitary and storm sewer easements in the Woodlands. Your recommendation of approving the replat of the Copper Ridge 4th Edition and the replat of the Valley Winds 9th Edition. In addition, we are finally, after comprehensive planning and zoning ordinancing and downtown master planning, we're nearing the end of our journey to adopt a new zoning ordinance. Probably all got an email inviting you to a meeting on the 13th of April. We'll have our consultants here. My goal is to get this adopted, all the questions answered, get everybody comfortable with it before a certain person in the legal department decides to leave us.
Can't imagine who that would be and why, but that's another whole discussion. But I view that bill as a beginning rather than an end, that with the next step, so yeah.
I just have to commend her. She's been so very helpful and integral in this whole process that it wouldn't have happened without Christine Stone. So
thank you for the record. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay.
Bill, can I ask you, though, more information? What kind of information, additional information, would the council, just for our purposes and what we're submitting to them then?
And oh, just and to help me, Bill, can you clarify those two cases, which ones they are?
Jeremiah Schramm was the long subdivision of three lots adjacent
off
to
of
the
Lincoln.
Termination
Lincoln
of Lincoln
okay.
Road.
Yep.
And the Glenview was the one that was next to Devil's Glen, Field Psych, and Crow Creek. We got strong inquiries from adjoining property owners on both of those for the council, and the council just wanted staff to try and work with all the parties to make sure that everybody's concerns were addressed.
Okay, great. All right, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, we would be adjourned.